AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The nation tries to come to grips with two tragedies in Texas. We begin with the mass attack on a shopping mall near Dallas. CBS's Omar Villafranca is in Allen.
Law enforcement sources tell CBS News the shooter was wearing body armor and was heavily armed. Police say he was killed by an officer who happened to be at the mall. Two law enforcement sources tell CBS News that the shooter had a patch on his clothing that said RWDS. They believe that stands for Right Wing Death Squad, associated with extremist right-wing neo-Nazi groups. An Army spokesperson says the shooting suspect joined the service in 2008, but never completed basic training.
It was the country's 199th mass shooting this year. Also in Texas, in the border city of Brownsville, a man in an SUV plowed into a group at a bus stop near a migrant shelter. Police Chief Felix Salcido.
There are various very critical injuries, and of course there was fatalities out of there at the scene, and we unfortunately continue to have a scaling, if you would, of fatalities, unfortunately.
The driver, 34-year-old George Alvarez, has been charged with 18 felony counts, including manslaughter. President Biden will meet with congressional leaders this afternoon as they look to strike a deal to raise the debt ceiling.
I'm Stephen Portnoy at the White House, where the press secretary insists the meeting is not a negotiation.
I would call it a conversation between the four leaders and the president.
Karine Jean-Pierre says the president's position is that Congress has the duty to raise or suspend the debt ceiling cleanly, without strings attached.
That's what we hope comes out of this, is that Speaker McCarthy does the right thing, something that he did three times in the last administration.
Republicans have passed a bill that suspends the debt ceiling, but it also includes cuts that the president has called draconian.
The Pulitzer Prize winners have been announced, and in the investigative reporting category, a series of stories about stock trades won.
Staff of the Wall Street Journal for sharp accountability reporting on financial conflicts of interest among officials at 50 federal agencies, revealing those who bought and sold stocks they regulated and other ethical violations.
In Japan, a bunch of teens brazenly ransacked a Rolex shop in broad daylight. They made off with a bunch of watches worth about $750,000. It went on for so long, witnesses thought it was some kind of theatrical production. Several capturing it all on video, including their license plate. The teens were taken into custody. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
High pay with excellent benefits? Check. Fair treatment and safe work conditions? Check. A paid training program? Check. Check all of your career boxes with the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7. Experienced industrial painters and drywall finishers needed now or become an apprentice. Call Tom Coyne at 262-488-4839 today. 262-488-4839 or go to IUPATDC7.com.
We're all familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something. Whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. it's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada. Hello, Wisconsin!
After shootings like what happened in Allen, Texas, should the photos of gun violence victims be published widely? 844-967-2789. When these horrific, gruesome, violent shootings happen, should we be forced to see the aftermath? I kind of think yes. And it's another Monday where this is what we're talking about. And we're probably going to spend most of this hour talking about guns and the shooting and the gun reforms that were in Evers' budget bill that got taken out. And one of the most prestigious, you know, private schools in Wisconsin is now having armed guards. And just like, what are we doing? But I think the first thing, at least relevant to yesterday's shooting, is forcing people to see what these guns do to people. And do you think that people should have to see it? Or is it unfair to the families of the victims? 844-967-2789. Jane, Matinair.
Yes.
Bad way to start a Monday.
Again, we're here again, as you said, after another mass shooting in America. And I remember after Uvalde, and I thought that that would have been an answer, because if you remember, in Uvalde, Texas, at that elementary school attack, the kids were so disfigured, they had to have DNA samples so that their families could identify them. And I thought at that time, too, maybe we should have to see it. Maybe we should have to face it. And then maybe we will take action. But now, yesterday on Twitter, because there were some images that were circulating on Twitter that I saw yesterday from the shooting in Allen, Texas, there is a whole group of people where that's their kink.
Oh God.
And I hate to have to even admit that and say that, but I mean, there was a whole series of movies called The Faces of Death in the 80s. Yes. Yes.
What is that? Like a beef
no,
film? What
was it? This was actual footage, I believe, of murders and killings and hangings and horrible things. And people got their rocks off on it by watching that. And so I am concerned that if we do this, it's going to feed a really dangerously ill subset.
I know. And that's a really good point. But basically, you know, the background of this, as you said, is that some really gruesome images of the victims were shared widely on Twitter yesterday following the shooting. And that renewed the debate over whether or not we should have to see and face the visceral impact of what gun violence does to human bodies. And so, you know, we're in another situation where 8 people, including children, were killed. 7 more people were injured at an outlet mall in the suburbs of Dallas. And the gunman used an AR-15 in an attack, and he was wearing tactical gear. And, you know, we don't, oh, this was, sorry, it wasn't, so yesterday, it was Saturday. You know, we don't know, I don't think anything's been published yet as of this morning of his motive, but police are investigating his connections to white supremacist ideology. And according to law enforcement, he had consumed and posted white supremacist and neo-Nazi content online. And, you know, this is, according to the definition of 4 more deaths in one instance, this mall shooting is America's 199th mass shooting this year.
More shootings than days.
More shootings than days. And the Gun Violence Archive, which is an independent research and data collection organization, is that's where they define a mass shooting as an event where at least 4 people were shot or injured. More than 14,500 people have died from gun violence this year alone.
Wow.
Like, that's like the size of Rapids, I think. I think there are about 15,000 people. It's like the entire, like, there's a lot of towns in Wisconsin you could think of that are smaller than 15,000 people. That's like all of those people died, to put context into how many people have died from gun violence in less than in 5 months, 4 months. We're, it's May 8th right now. And, you know, and I don't know, like, there's a part of me that, but I think you're right. Like, I come from it and, like, I don't want to see those images. Like, the people who, I would imagine that the people who are, would be the most affected by seeing such unbelievable harm done to, you know, sometimes tiny little bodies, probably are already pretty compassionate to wanting things to change. And it may not, I don't know who, maybe it would not move the people that still need to be moved on this issue. I do think that the politicians should have to see it.
I agree. Absolutely.
That I definitely think.
Absolutely.
If it's not shared on social media, as far as still protecting the victim's family, like you said, not feeding into people who get off on these kinds of things. But, you know, you think about the power that a picture can have, right? Like, you know, are we past the Pulitzer Prize winning photos, like the small girl suffering from napalm in Vietnam? Was it just a different time, because we consume so much imagery now? But, or like Emmett Till's open casket, like, does that kind of imagery still move people to the point where that could have an effect? 844-967-2789. And, you know, I say, like, who are we trying to move? But, you know, an overwhelming majority of American voters favor a wide variety of gun control measures. And this is most recently a Fox News poll found this. This is not, you know, Moms for Action. Like, this is Fox News.
We have Jack from Merrimack on the phone. 844-967-2789. Thank you so much for joining us, Jack. What do you want to say?
Well, we can do something about this, and it's been done before in the U.S. between 1996 and 2006. I believe those are the right years. We had an assault weapons ban in this country, and the number of deaths, according to the analysis of the data, the number of deaths from this type of incident dropped by 70% during that period of time. The Australians figured this out after the Port Arthur massacre in, I think it was 94, when they legislated an assault weapons ban, and it wasn't a total ban. They're a very pro-gun society, too, but you can have assault weapons. For instance, if you're in the outback and you have a need for them, something like that, but they're heavily licensed. And much like you can have a machine gun in the U.S., but there has to be a reason for it. You're a collector, something like that. And, again, they're heavily licensed. We need to do something like this. Arguably, the assault weapons ban in Australia has been so effective that they have not had a mass shooting since that incident.
Yep.
So yeah. That's my comment.
Thanks so much, Jack.
Thanks so much for Jack.
844-967-2789. If you want to check in after the latest mass shooting in Allen, Texas over the weekend, we have Kevin from New Jersey joining us. What do you want to say, Kevin?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to give you a different spin on this conversation, and I'm going to start it off by saying I wish we had not had one death related to firearms, okay? 15,000, mm-hmm. I heard you say that number. That's a little surprising to me. I wasn't aware it was that high. But here's my problem, okay? The reason we don't talk about fentanyl deaths is because that's not sensational, okay? We've had 80,000 deaths a year because of fentanyl, but we don't talk about that. We talk about the few deaths that we see, and yes, we're seeing it a little bit more, but we talk about those because they're sensational. Talk about the fentanyl deaths. Talk about the parents that have to wake up and find their kids dead, or just all the 80,000 people that die every year from fentanyl. Why aren't we talking about that? That, to me, is a much greater problem.
I would say that, at least on this show, we have talked about that. I mean, as recently as having Dr. Ben Weston on talking about the different opioid prevention and harm reduction strategies going on in Milwaukee. So I agree with you. That is a huge problem. But I do think there's a little whataboutism as far as changing the subject from one to the other. They're both bad.
They're both horrible. And we say we want our politicians to focus on gun control, gun control, gun control. Well, how about the damn fentanyl that continues to pour in over the border and kills 10 times as many people as the guns? We don't demand the same response from the politicians that we do for the guns because, again, fentanyl is just not sensational.
Well, thanks
so much for the call, Kevin.
Thanks for the call, Kevin.
Or Jane, do you have a comment?
Certainly the fentanyl crisis is terrible, and I do believe that there are some things that are being tried to slow it. Yet with these mass shootings that happen over and over and over again, nothing is done. And even Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, said after this latest one that it's all about focusing on mental health. Well, Governor Abbott cut $200 million from the budget to mental health programs.
And on top of that, just with the fentanyl thing, I mean, the amount of money being spent and being in settlement cases and opioid settlement cases. Like, I think Wisconsin alone, we just got another $100 million. Like, there is a lot of legislation and prevention programs, and there's a lot of stuff happening there. Certainly way more money there than there is in gun reform. All right, we're going to keep this conversation going. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
See, I'll call you back later.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Get off the endless debt treadmill and start saving money each month. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Call Total Financial now at 800-208-1312. 800-208-1312.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 45 overnight under mainly cloudy skies. Northwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Highs around 65 tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Mainly clear tomorrow night, lows level off around 46. Dry and turning warmer Wednesday and Thursday with highs from the low 70s to the mid 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
What gun control measures do you want to see in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. This is another Monday. We are have to spend the first hour talking about guns and innocent people dying from gun violence. And of course, we're talking about Saturday's shooting in a suburb of Dallas, Texas, in Allen, where 8 people were killed. 7 others were injured. And, you know, I thought it was timely because last week, Journal Sentinel went through and outlined, you know, what gun reforms Governor Evers had put in his budget bill that were taken out. And I just thought it'd be interesting to go through what those are, and more specifically, what the popularity and favorability of those measures are. And I did ask this on As Goes Wisconsin's Twitter this morning, and we'll go through some of the answers we've seen there, because I believe, you know, you can only put 4 options on a poll. So it's been interesting to see some of the other suggestions people have put in the comment section. But, you know, would love to hear from you. What gun control measures do you think are reasonable, that are not taking people's guns away, that would have the biggest impact, be the easiest to implement? 844-967-2789. But, you know, out of the things that were taken out of the budget, the first being universal background checks.
Which are very popular.
Which are very popular. A Marquette University Law School poll in June 2022 found that 79% of Wisconsin residents favor background checks for private gun sales and sales at gun shows. Those are 2 of the notorious loopholes for transferring firearms without background checks. And it's not that the background checks keep a ton of people from getting firearms. It's not like a terrible, like it's not like a super high bar, because Journal Sentinel did this last year, or maybe it was even earlier this year. They went through the last like 5 years of the background checks that we do have.
Right.
And very, very few people got denied. And so it's not like there's a huge barrier to entry to still buy a gun, but it's there for a very specific reason. There was very specific people that probably should not have guns. And so, yeah, 79% of Wisconsin residents in favor, not moving forward. The second one is extreme risk protection orders, aka red flag laws. And so I almost wonder if we keep calling them extreme risk protection orders rather than red flag laws.
Do you think that will help?
I don't know. I read that this morning, and I was like, I feel like we hear red flag laws more often. And so, I don't know, you know, sometimes marketing can make a difference. But, you know, they operate similarly to domestic violence protection orders. They're, you know, that's legal in all 50 states. And so domestic violence orders relating to removal of firearms have been associated with a 12% reduction in intimate partner homicide. And so if it works in domestic violence cases where things are escalating, I mean, obviously not in the case that we talked to Ashley Lutheran about in Wisconsin, but, you know, in general, having the things in place for when someone is at risk of killing their domestic partner, having similar mechanisms in place when someone should not have access to a firearm for a limited period of time.
And the biggest objection I have heard to that is, well, who's going to enforce this? Well, it's not like somebody's just going to come to your door and knock on your door and say, we're taking all your guns. It's going to go through the courts. A judge will have to sign off on this, I assume, like they do with a domestic protection order.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like some rando is going to, you know, somebody's going to come walking down the street and say, Bill in apartment 12 has a gun and he shouldn't. And you're going to go take them all away. That's not how it works.
So as far as popularity of that, in June 2022, polling by Marquette Law School found that 81% of Wisconsin voters favored a law allowing police to take guns away from people who've been found by a judge to be in danger of themselves or others. And then this one I thought was interesting. Evers also had tax exemptions for gun locks and safes in his budget. And that one sounds like it may have some merit, according to some of the Republicans, but argued that it should be separate legislation. But yeah, in an effort to encourage safe gun storage, Evers' budget proposes making gun safes, barrel locks, and trigger locks tax exempt, which I think that's a pretty good idea. We may come back to that at a later date, of just the profound difference having your gun in a gun safe can make. And, you know, you think about how many people in Wisconsin do have guns because of hunting. And I don't know if there's any data of how many people actually keep those in safes or not. It'd be interesting to see, you know, who does
the numbers.
And who doesn't.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the last one was different grants for suicide and violence prevention that will not be in the budget. And so I would love to hear from you, though.
But it's all about mental health. But we can't. But we're not going to fund that.
But we also are not meant to funding mental health.
Yeah, we're not. Let's not do
that. That also got taken out.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. What gun control measures would you like to see in Wisconsin? We have a comment from on the YouTube Live, which you can always watch us on As Goes Wisconsin on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. I'll read this, and then we'll quickly go to break. From Alicia, I'd like to see all firearms registered, all owners required gun safety courses, regular trips to the range, universal background checks, and gun safes and trigger locks for firearms. Funny how she didn't say, take your guns. All things that you can totally have your guns. We just want you to be safe with them. All right, we're going to keep this conversation going. What legislation would you like to see in Wisconsin when it comes to guns? 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. A horrific scene at a Dallas area shopping mall after a man went on a shooting rampage, killing eight. Stephen Spainhauer's son was working at one of the stores and rushed to the scene. This is what he saw.
A little boy is just soaked with blood from head to toe, crawled out from under one of the victims and started walking around saying, my mama's hurt, over and over and over. So I grabbed him and put him around the corner so he could get him out of the area of trauma.
In Brownsville, Texas, a man drove his SUV into a group outside a migrant shelter. Mayor Juan Mendez.
There were several lives lost. We have eight lives that were lost. Those are people lost family members, husbands, sons, relatives. That's tragic.
Debt ceiling talks at the White House today, where Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says they'll tell Republican leaders.
We're telling them or saying to them, do your job. Pay for something that you've already spent on.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853, the Milwaukee Turners at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
We're all familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative, at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
The Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Jenny.
It's up to all of us. It's not just up to Democrats. Are we ready to rid our country of this perversion and deception? You know, are we sick of massacres at churches, grocery stores, theaters, concerts? Are we sick of adults forcing children who are raped into pregnancy? When is enough enough that we're going to vote all those fascists?
I'm putting you down for Caller Hall of Fame today. We have to carry these messages, even if the Democratic Party is incapable. You keep it up, sister.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. By the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are asking, what gun reform legislation measures do you want to see in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789.
CJ from Stoughton is joining us. CJ, what do you want to say?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I would like to just point out that your criticism of Governor Abbott, he's had to spend $3 billion protecting the border.
We're not talking about the border, CJ.
And this president.
We're not talking about the border.
Where fentanyl's coming from, right? You're talking about fentanyl, right?
We're not talking about the border right now. We're talking about
what gun control measures you want to see in Wisconsin.
Okay, 21 were shot, 4 killed in Chicago. How many were shot and killed in Milwaukee this past weekend, and you want to focus on one shooting?
Well, what gun control measures do you...
CJ, we don't want to focus on one shooting. We're talking about, in general, gun violence and 14,500 people who've died this year from gun violence.
How many by suicide?
Probably a lot. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but that is also part of this. Suicide, gun violence, mass shootings, random shootings. Like, this is all part of gun violence, CJ.
Okay, well, you want to talk about, you're the one that brought it up, criticism of Governor Abbott not spending money on mental health. He's had to try to protect the border because this president and this vice president, border czar, is a joke. They are a joke, and The mere fact that you still support them is a joke.
Okay,
so
thanks a lot, CJ.
Let's look at the numbers. You know how many died in Milwaukee this weekend?
CJ, it's been a slice. Thank you for calling. Have a good day.
It's been a slice. I don't think I've heard that one before.
It's been a slice.
A slice of what?
Just a slice.
Could I lighten this up just for a second, and then we're going to get back to the topic? I literally had a dream this weekend that I said I dropped an F-bomb on air, and you were so mad at me. Because you couldn't get to the dumb button fast
I just don't move that fast. We're not talking about the border crisis, and we're not talking about fentanyl right now. We are talking about the easy access to guns. And the question is, what gun control measures do you want to see in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
So I put this on Twitter, on As Goes Wisconsin's Twitter, which you can always, we would love for you to follow us there. And so far, 61% has said universal background checks. 23% said red flag laws. Only 1.5% said incentives for gun locks and gun safes. And then 13.8% said other. And some of the interesting suggestions that people said in the comments section was this one. I think is interesting. This is from A.R. Scott. I don't know, he has kind of a Scott Rogers is his handle. I would start with strict liability tort reform. Any misuse of a firearm makes the firearm's owner fully liable in civil court for the harm done, no matter who pulled the trigger. This liability endures until the firearm is transferred with the use of a federal background check. Quote, responsible gun ownership means taking responsibility for your gun. A responsibly stored firearm cannot be misused. A responsibly handled firearm never discharged inappropriately. There is no such thing as an accidental firearm discharge. Guns can be fired negligently or recklessly, but modern gun design prevents actual accidental discharge. Our laws should recognize this fact. I'd start with strict civil liability because it would have a profound effect on insurance that would highly incentivize responsible gun storage and handling by anyone who owns or rents a home or who owns a business or who owns and drives a car. I haven't heard that one before. That's actually interesting.
It is very interesting. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We have Eric from Tosa. Thank you for joining us, Eric. What do you want to say?
Hi. On the wish, I'll get this part kind of out of the way, is my wish for gun control, I should say, and this is what I would consider like a 50-year plan. It's not necessarily for us, but for our children and grandchildren to enjoy a better life, would be allowing, you know, non-military, non-law enforcement civilians to own single-shot shotguns, bolt-action rifles or long guns, whatever you want to call them, and revolvers. Those three things, everyone, again, it's not banning guns, it's regulating guns. And if anyone can explain what would be lost out by limiting to those weapons for civilians, then I'd be happy to listen to it, their claims. But those would be my three allowable firearms, so to speak. One question I had for the fentanyl guy is, when did fentanyl last kill dozens of unsuspecting shoppers? As he's weighing the two apples and oranges here, and there are many laws being passed and introduced to stop fentanyl from being trafficked, guns not so much, right? As far as like showing images of gunshot victims, I think it's entirely up to the parents or guardians of those folks if they choose to do so. Nobody else should have that right, even the lawmakers, without the parents or guardians, allowing that. But keep in mind too, you know, images of lynching, postcards of lynching victims' body parts were distributed by the post office to fellow white Americans for decades. And where are we now in our, you know, cultural racial relations? Has that, you know, those images are probably kept by some people still, but some people really revel in the death and the violence and the gore. And so I think that's complicated. And I believe as much as Emmett Till had an impact immediately on those that wanted change, it alternately also impacted those that were going to fight change to dig in even deeper. And this would be the same story, I believe.
Yeah, you make a really good point. Yeah, you make a lot of good points there, Eric. Thank you so much for calling.
Really good call, Eric, as far as he really got the checklist of all the questions we've asked so far this morning. The whataboutism is not helpful. There's a lot of things that are bad. There's a lot of things that need to be worked on. How do you measure what is worse? I don't know. Is it just body count? Is it how innocent you deem the person to be who is the victim? It doesn't feel helpful.
Well, and I just feel that there are measures for so many other things, and we regulate so many other things to help keep people safe. And yet the only thing that we apparently cannot touch is guns. And within the Second Amendment, as you pointed out, it says well-regulated. This doesn't seem regulated to me at all.
Well, and it depends on where you go, right? I mean, there are some states that are doing what they can and obviously going to battle that out in court. There's other states that are making it easier and easier. But it's some of the other answers we've gotten that I think seem like no-brainers is gun owners should be required to carry insurance.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and the gun owner registration, the same way that we expect everyone who drives a car to be registered, you have to be registered to be able to vote, you know, and then we can tax ammo and have an excise tax on that. Another option was, or suggestion was mandatory gun safety and operational training classes, including written and practical testing paid by the licensee.
Which I can't believe we don't have. I'm going to go buy something that can kill people, but I don't need anyone to teach me how to use it. I'm fine. I just instinctively know how.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, there's such a far gap between banning guns, which is what certain people on the right think that is what's trying to happen, is de-arming people. And so much of what could be done as far as registration, as far as taxing things, as far as having people take classes, like so many other things that we have available to us, whether it's driving cars and like we do that and no one bats an eye. You know, if anything, people are so upset whenever anyone says, undocumented immigrants should be able to get their driver's license, because the argument of all the things that it solves, because of not having a license causes issues. And then people don't want to do that. But it's like, it's not always a bad thing to know who is supposed to own this gun and who is liable for it if it were to, like the one comment said, misfire.
Right. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. What gun control measures would you like to see in Wisconsin? And I want to point out as well that in 40 years of gun owners being told they're coming for all your guns, it's never happened.
If anything, it feels like it's gotten easier in a lot of places.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. It is far easier to arm yourself now than it was 40 years ago. And with far more effective killing machines. So they've been screaming, the NRA has been trying to scare you for decades. They're coming for all your guns. They're coming for all your guns. Yeah, they're not. And they never have in 40 years. It's about, as you said, it's about reforms. It's not about confiscation.
But it feels like there's other local gun news in Wisconsin from this past weekend. Obviously, we're running it in our news breaks, but in St. Croix, a St. Croix County Sheriff's deputy was shot and killed after responding to a drunk driving incident over the weekend.
Terrible tragedy.
Terrible. And she'd only started with St. Croix in 2022. She hadn't even been there a full year yet. I didn't think she wasn't even 30. And so that's obviously a tragedy. And it goes back to the John Stewart interview where he's like, do more guns make deputies and cops feel safer when they go on a traffic stop? Do more guns in the house make police feel safer when they show up for a domestic violence dispute?
And I would also love to talk to law enforcement about their feelings on permitless concealed carry. That seems like a really not good thing if you are an LEO.
Yep.
I just don't see how that is good.
Well, and also, and it's interesting where this is coming from, but do you want armed guards at your kid's school? Is that going to make you feel safer with your kids at school? Because the University School of Milwaukee, which is a pretty prestigious, expensive private school in River Hills, and starting May 1st, so last week, security staff, as a part of their regular part of their job, are carrying firearms. And there are 3 to 5 members at the school's in-house security team who carry guns. All of them are former Milwaukee Police Department officers who had already been working at the school as unarmed security staff for many years. And generally, in Wisconsin right now, it is a felony to carry a firearm on school grounds under state law unless you are a former police officer. And it's interesting because, at least according to the Journal Sentinel, which is where I got this article from, the school didn't really give that much time for parents to weigh in.
They just made the decision.
Kind of, it sounds like. There was no formalized outreach to parents. It was mostly members of the school's board of trustees, legal and insurance consultants, security experts, and local police who were conferred before making the decision. And then letters to the families, you know, were sent once it was already decided. And it's in response to the rise of school shootings nationwide. And I guess so far, according to them, parents have been fine with it. And I don't know. Like, I also don't know if it's been proven that this prevents anything. I don't know. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to shift to some good news because I need it. We're going to talk about Wisconsin's Teachers of the Year because it is Teacher Appreciation Week. So we're going to talk about that in our next segment. And again, at the last hour of the day. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853, the Milwaukee Turners at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 65. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 46. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 73. Mid-70s Thursday, low 70s Friday, with a chance for scattered rain showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. Let's take a cleansing breath from the first three segments of today's show and let out the heaviness because it just doesn't get any easier talking about that stuff. And yet, every couple weeks,
not even
talk about it.
No, it's every week, every 8 days or so.
I feel like the ones that we end up talking to, yeah, it doesn't matter. But on a lighter note, it is Teacher Appreciation Week.
Yay, teachers.
And we love our teachers. We spend a lot of time on this show talking about education, talking about teachers, talking about the teacher shortage, because it is something that affects all of us, even if you don't have kids yet, because the entire concept of a public education and having an educated electorate is that it's good for everybody.
Right.
If more and more of us are smarter.
Know stuff.
And
if we know stuff.
Know stuff. You know, it's good. It's good for everyone to have some basic civics. It's good for society if more and more people are literate. Just good things in general come from an educated population.
Exactly.
And so we love teachers. We are very concerned about the teacher shortage here and across the country, but also do not blame them, because it's not like I'm trying to sign up to go be a teacher, because that job sounds way harder than talking on the radio for 3 hours a day.
There's no question. And not only do they have to be able to teach, but now they're psychologists and they're social workers. And now we expect them to be armed in some cases, which adds a whole nother level of responsibility. And not only do they have to answer to their administrators, but the parents.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tough job when I was a kid 50 years ago. I can't imagine what it's like now.
Yeah. So we want to hear from you as far as stories of your favorite teacher who made an impact on you. 844-967-2789. We'll certainly take that text or call now, but also the top of the 1 o'clock hour, spend more time on talking about your favorite teacher. If you can remember, I think mine, I had a lot of good ones. I feel like mine, and I would love to see if I can try to find her contact information, because I'm pretty sure she's retired, but she's still in Madison. It was my 7th grade social studies and English teacher, Mrs. Passman.
Okay.
Who, big shock, had an entire we had an entire section on curriculum on social justice. And I would say, my mom would certainly point out, she's like, I think that's where a lot of this started for you. So call that indoctrination if you will, but I very much appreciated it, because she was a cool lady. She was, she was a little bit older, and she just had seen like all of it. And so even the kids who kind of were disruptive in class didn't really bother her. She knew how to handle it. Like, she was fun. She was super smart. The stuff that we read in that class, I think that's what the class that I read, Mouse.
Oh, wow.
Which was pretty young to read that, but important. And so she always stands out to me at Cherokee Middle School. Mrs. Passman, 7th grade. And that, you know how much of an impact she made, because she took a semester off. I forgot exactly what health stuff was going on in her family that I think she maybe was taking care of her dad. So she made that much of an impact on me, and only was in one semester.
Wow.
Wow. So I think back on her really fondly. But I would love to hear stories from you today throughout the week of teachers that made an impact on you or on your kids. if you currently have kids in school who there's a specific shout out for a teacher that you really appreciate. 844-967-2789.
They can use some shout outs as opposed to being shouted at.
Yeah, there you go. But Wisconsin DPI is in the middle of announcing their Teachers of the Year. So every year, Wisconsin selects 5 Teachers of the Year annually to represent elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and special services. And there's an interview process, and then one of the 5 is selected to represent Wisconsin in the CCSSO National Teacher of the Year program.
Ooh.
So DPI considers all 5 of its Teacher of the Years as a Teacher of the Year and does not give any special designation to the one chosen to represent the state in National Teacher of the Year. But I saw last week, locally, there was a couple teachers, at least in the local Southeast Wisconsin area. In New Berlin, there was, they did a whole thing, I guess, last week. Students and staff at New Berlin West Middle/High School lined the hallways to surprise one of their teachers with an award from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Sagar Homanyanpour is a computer science teacher, and she was recognized as a 2024 Wisconsin Teacher of the Year during a surprise ceremony.
Nice.
So I guess she like walked down the hallway and people were applauding and there was staff out and the students were out. And then there was like she was taken to another room where she was presented the award. And Wisconsin State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley, was there. Her superintendent of the New Berlin School District was there. And so, yeah, so it was kind of fun to see some of the video coverage of that. But then 2 of the other 5 Wisconsin Teacher of the Year awards were announced last week as well. Claudia Heller Demesser is an English teacher at second language, English as a second language teacher at Milwaukee Parkside School in Milwaukee Public Schools. And Rachel Kumferman is a school social worker at McKinley Elementary in Wauwatosa. And so I guess I would assume that maybe the other 2 are going to be announced this week. But yeah. And
congratulations.
Congratulations to them. I would love to know what that interview process is like.
Do you have to?
How do you pick the best teachers?
I don't know. And do they have to make a presentation to sell themselves?
Which I feel like, sometimes those things, like people who are the most, sometimes I often feel like in those kinds of jobs, in those kind of service jobs, the people who are the best at them are also the most humble and like really are not good at self-promotion or like bragging about themselves.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I just like,
it's just what I do. It's just what I do.
It's just what I do. I don't need any recognition. Like this is embarrassing. And so, that's what I wonder of like, how much do they have to be coached to be like, no. Talk about all the good stuff that you do. It's okay.
Talk it up.
All right. Well, in the top of the hour, we're going to go to the news. But when we come back, some election news. How do you feel about the non-binding voter questions? We talked a lot about them in the spring election because there was a statewide one, but often you see them on your ballot. They're marijuana. Sometimes it's abortion. There's stuff that, and it doesn't have any ramification, but it's there to show support. How do you feel about them? Because the GOP is trying to get rid of them. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.